listening to an extra shot episode on the Project Zion podcast, a shorter episode that lets you get your Project Zion fix in between our full-length episodes. It might be shorter time-wise, but hopefully not in content. So regardless of the temperature at which you prefer your caffeine, sit back and enjoy this extra shot.
The music has been provided by Ben Howington. You can find his music at mormonguitar.com. So today's focus is on Do You Love Me? It's based on John 21, 1 through 19. I'll get to that text later on. I hope that I hit the right balance with this because I'm going to hit on some stuff that's a little bit negative towards leaders. And I just hope that I don't throw them under the bus too much, but just to find the balance of redirection of where our focus should be on. And what came to mind when I was thinking about giving this sermon was something that David Bacavoy wrote on his Facebook wall back on February 27th. And his status was, "Don't follow the apostles." Mark's gospel presents a shockingly negative portrayal of Jesus' apostles. With the exception of Judas, these religious leaders were great heroes in the early Christian movement, especially Peter, James, and John. Yet the author of Mark intentionally presents Jesus' original disciples as incompetent fools. According to Mark, the apostles just weren't very intelligent. They appear as weak men who fail to comprehend Jesus' parables. Even worse, the apostles fail to grasp even Jesus' most simple, straightforward sayings. The depiction of their foolishness continues through the disciples' inability to recognize Jesus' identity and mission. When Peter finally begins to understand that Jesus is the Messiah, we read that Peter misconstrues what that important point even means. Moreover, instead of wanting to be humble servants of God, the apostles seek to use their religious authority to acquire power and prestige. In this sense, Mark's gospel presents Jesus as their antithesis, a humble servant who teaches the true meaning of discipleship on the way to his own death. The apostles also manifest a true lack of loyalty. Jesus specifically chose these men to be with him. He made clear that true discipleship involved following his example and suffering for others. Yet when Jesus enters Jerusalem and faces his enemies, the disciples think of themselves and refuse to remain with Jesus. Judas joins Jesus' enemies. Peter, James, and John fall asleep rather than support Jesus during his crisis of confidence. Peter publicly denies Jesus three times. And then when Jesus is finally arrested, all the apostles run away. There is an obvious reason the author specifically crafted his account this way. The message he conveys is quite clear. Ultimately, it's the same message he states that God himself delivered on the Mount of Transfiguration, the moment when Peter blurts out one of his typical inappropriate comments, "This is my beloved son, listen to him." According to the Gospel of Mark, Christians were not meant to emulate and accept religious leaders without reservation. From Mark's perspective, leaders are always weak, which is why, instead of looking toward the apostles, Mark believed that true disciples should always look directly to Jesus. And I don't want to throw, because we have apostles within Community of Christ, I don't want to throw anybody too under the bus, but that is the true direction that leaders should take, is not pointing the attention to themselves, but pointing the attention to Jesus Christ. I think our leaders are pretty good at that. If you've ever met them, they're very approachable. They're not arrogant in the least, but so today the focus is on Peter, and I just kind of want to give some more backdrop on Peter before I get into this text in John 21, 1 through 19. So in Matthew 16, 13 through 18, what I brought up with David Bacavoy's post is the scripture where Jesus is asking, he asked his disciples, "Who do you say the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and some others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said to them, But what do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered, You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him, Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. The thing about the name Peter is it's a nickname. It's not his real name. His name's Simon. Peter, Petros in Greek, means rock. Jesus was calling Simon something that he was not. He was calling him by his potential, not where he was at that time. As further illustrated later on, when he denies Christ three times. It makes me also think that God in general calls people where they're at. It's this weird dichotomy where God calls us where we're at and fully accepts us where we're at, but also calls us to where our potential could lead. And another example in the Old Testament is Gideon in the story of Judges. So in the sixth chapter of Judges, so an angel appears to Gideon and says, The Lord is with you, you mighty warrior. I like the wording a bit better in King James. It says, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. If you know the backstory of Gideon, he was not a mighty man of valor. He was timid, he was fearful, he was not a warrior, what this angel was calling him. But God calls us to what our potential is, and I just wanted to bring that up in to kind of compare it to Peter, because Peter, the rock, was not really a rock. It's just what God was calling him to be at that time. So I want to just talk about agape. I don't know if you've heard that word in Greek or not. Agape, just pulled this from Wikipedia. Agape is love, the highest form of love. Charity, the love of God for man and of man for God. Not to be confused with phileo, which is brotherly love. Agape embraces a universal, unconditional love that transcends that and serves regardless of circumstances. Think about that. It serves regardless of circumstances. The noun form first occurs in the Septuagint, but the verb form goes as far back as Homer, translated literally as affection, as in Greek with affection and show affection for the dead. Other ancient authors have used forms of the word to denote love of a spouse or family or affection for a particular activity. In contrast to philia, you can think of philia, you can see the root of this word in philosophy, which is the love of wisdom. Philia is an affection that could denote friendship, brotherhood, or general non-sexual affection. And then also in Greek, you have the word eros, which is like a romantic type of love, erotic, think of that. But in Christianity, the highest form of love, this developed love, is called agape. It's love of God or Christ for humankind. In the New Testament, it refers to the covenant love of God for humans, as well as a human reciprocal love for God. The term necessarily extends to the love of one's fellow man. Now, I just want to bring back to what happened, because when you look at the verses for today, where you have Christ coming to Peter after he's been resurrected and talks to Peter and asks him if he loves him three times, this is in contrast to when Peter just denied him three times. It gives him a chance to redeem himself. So if you can imagine Peter, he was not the rock that he was called at that time. He did not live into that love of agape, serving Christ or God in all conditions. When presented with a fearful situation when Jesus was apprehended and taken, Peter denied him. So if you want to think of that story, I can only imagine if I play it out in my head, the woman comes up to him and says, I've seen this man, he's one of his disciples. And Peter says, no, I don't know him. And she does it again, and he responds the same. And the third time he gets really angry and starts swearing, I've never met this man, I do not know him. And I can't think but Jesus' eyes met with Peter at that time, before the rooster crowed in the morning, and he realized what he had done. Peter left. I don't know what was going through Peter's mind, but they did all scatter. And I can't remember which account, it might be Luke. So in the earliest accounts, you have a man dressed in white, and it becomes more spectacular as the Gospels are written, to where it's an angel that comes to the empty tomb and tells Mary, go and tell Peter and the disciples to come. What I find fascinating about this is this angel, or this man dressed in white, is specifically asking for Peter. If Peter had felt like he had blown it and that his chance was over, God was reaching out and calling him back. And when Mary went and talked to him and said, yes, the angel specifically asked for you, go tell Peter. Something lit a fire with under him to where he ran all the way back. And I can't help but think, even any of us as disciples or leaders or anything, that God unconditionally calls each of us where we're at. According to the story, according to the text, Jesus knew all these things. He knew Peter was going to deny him 3 times, but he called him anyway. So now, on to the text of today, John 21:1-19. So it goes, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. He showed himself in this way, gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and 2 others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, I am going fishing. They said to him, we will go with you. They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, children, you have no fish with you. They answered him, no. He said to them, cast the net to the right side of the boat. Oh, I just want to point out the symbology. When it's the apostles by themselves, they catch nothing. When they listen to Jesus, they catch lots of fish. So they cast the net on the right side, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. I don't know why he jumped in with clothes on when he was already naked to go back to the sea. But that's the story. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragged the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, bring me some of the fish that you have just caught. So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of fish, large fish, 153 of them. And though they were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, who are you? Because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them. It did the same with the fish. This was now the 3rd time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to them, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my lambs. 2nd time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him 3rd time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter felt hurt because he said to him 3rd time, do you love me? He said to him, Lord, you know everything and you know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. I want to point out the original Greek though, because the original Greek tells a whole different story. Was this the chance that Peter got to redeem himself? And it's not. You can go look this up for yourself and verify that I'm telling the truth. Go look at the original Greek. You can get like one of those interlinear Bibles online, BibleHub.com, and look at like the words translated from Greek straight to English and word by word. So the 1st time that Jesus asked this, what you're getting is a very different response. Simon, son of Jonah, agapes me. Do you love me with this unconditional love of God, this covenant love that serves without condition or restraint? Obviously, he didn't when he denied him 3 times, right? He got fearful and ran for his life. Peter's response, though, is, Lord, you know, philo, say. He gives this lower love, this brotherly love, companionship, kind of like a fraternal love, but not agape. Totally different response. So Jesus' response is an admonition of what he needs to do to get to this agape love. Feed the lambs of me. Ask him 2nd time. Simon, son of Jonah, agapes me. Yes, Lord, you know, philo, say. Wrong response again. Shepherd the sheep of me is his response. And 3rd time, Simon, son of Jonah, philais me. Jesus meets Peter at his own level, changes it from agape to philia, philaisme. Peter was grieved because the third time he asked philaisme. That's why it made him sad. He finally realized what happened. All things you know, philo, se. He responds the exact same way the third time. Feed the sheep of me is Jesus' response. Peter did not redeem himself here, but Jesus was giving him a charge of how he could and how he could live the rest of his life into that. And he did. I mean, according to the text of the New Testament, he did. He goes out and he baptizes more than anybody else in the New Testament. He goes to his own crucifixion and death. But I just want to lift that up to us, because we're going to give the charge after this congregational response based on the translation, which is not a very good translation. But when we give that charge and you respond, yes, Lord, you know that we love you. Think of that in yourself. I'm not saying this to convict any of you or make you feel guilty, but what level of love are you at, and what would you need to live into to unconditionally love God and serve him at all costs, barring nothing? I say that I'm not guilting you, because I know I'm not there yet myself. So, but when I think of feed my lambs, do you love me? What more of an appropriate picture on the front of this of a little child instead of Christ, of how we can show and live into the love of God that God is calling us to? And I just want to leave with a verse in Matthew 25:35-40. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you? And the king will answer them, truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these, who are members of my family, you did it to me. And I just want to leave with my testimony that as we serve God and man, that's how we live into the full love. It's not something we arrive at just because we give the right response. It's something that takes a lifetime of discipleship.
Project Zion is sponsored by the Latter-day Seekers team from Community of Christ. The views expressed in this episode are of those speaking and do not necessarily reflect the official views of the Latter-day Seekers team or of Community of Christ.